Donald Whitney, called Praying the Bible. Is there a solution to the problem of a boring, lifeless, dull, monotonous, frustrating prayer time? Well, if so, wouldn't it have to be very simple? That is, wouldn't it have to be accessible to every single child of God, since God invites all of us as children of his children? He invites every child of God, and he promises to enable them by his Spirit. So this solution really has to be accessible across the board if God is inviting every one of us to participate in this communication through prayer. Just think of the variety of believers around the world. You've got those in different cultures. You know, we're thinking about this during our missions emphasis month here. Widespread age groups. You've got Christians that are really young on the you know, age spectrum. You've got Christians that are not so young and way up there. You've got diverse levels of education where, you know, some may not have even finished high school. And then you've got some Christians that have advanced degrees. And you've got this broad spectrum of believers here. Could there actually be an approach to prayer, though, that works for all of these different types of Christians? Anywhere and during any age of the church, you know, back in the 1600s, back before year 1000, would there be something that would have worked in all these different periods of time? Well, I want to show you tonight that every Christian can have a meaningful, powerful prayer life. It's something that is promised to us as a believer in Jesus Christ. Part of being blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ is that the Lord offers to every one of us this amazing privilege to draw nigh to him through prayer and to talk to him. And we think about the fact that God saves people from every imaginable circumstance and background. Your background story to how you came to know Christ as Savior is going to be different than mine or really anybody else's. We're like snowflakes in that regard, right? We're very unique. Each one's different from the other. And that's the only way we're like snowflakes, right? But if God invites and expects, really, he expects all his children, regardless of their age, their IQ, their education, their resources, to do the same thing, to pray, then prayer has to be, I guess you could say, uncomplicated. Because every single Christian, really, it has to be accessible to all of us. So it must be possible for every Christian to do this. And you think about all the helpful resources to which we, here in America, American Christians, we have these amazing, unlimited access today to a Bible of our own that's written in our language. There are places still in the world where folks they don't have the Word of God translated into their language, maybe not the whole thing, maybe not even portions of it yet. There's still languages without the Bible, but we have our own Bible. Maybe you have more than one copy at home. You have a church home where the Bible is taught. You have discipleship books and commentaries. You have radio Bible teachers, and that's not even getting into all the online resources now where there's just information at a click's, you know, the time. Where you could look around, ask questions, and find ways to understand more about the Lord and his Word. So if you, as an American Christian, with the availability of all those resources, if you can't have a fulfilling prayer life in spite of all those helps, then what hope is there for our brothers and sisters in those isolated locations, lands where non-Christian religions dominate, or places of persecution where few, if any, of these Christian resources are available that we get to enjoy? So this logic implies that almost no Christian in the world can enjoy a meaningful, powerful, exciting prayer life, since almost no follower of Jesus anywhere has as many of these helps for prayer as we do. And if we're not experiencing that kind of prayer life, what hope do they have? Is it based on those earthly resources? Or is there something we're missing here? And maybe you're sitting there honestly thinking, look, Pastor Dan, I don't know about anybody else. I just know that when I pray, it's boring. And you can be honest. There's nobody here but us. It's boring. In fact, now that you've shown me all the advantages I have in comparison to many other Christians in the world, I feel guiltier than ever. I felt like a failure in prayer before, but apparently I'm even worse than I thought. because I have all that. I have access to all that. And you might be thinking, thanks a lot, Pastor Dan. I'm sure glad that I came to church tonight so I could feel even worse than I did before I came here about prayer. Many have endured the guilt of an incurably wandering mind and feelings of boredom in prayer for many, many years. And here comes somebody asking you to believe that there is a solution to a problem that's plagued you for most of your life as a Christian. You know, just like as though you were listening to a lung specialist say that you could easily change the way that you breathe. That would be difficult to sit there and listen to. Oh, just change the way you breathe and you'll be better. Things will be better for you. Would I really ask you to believe something like that?
No.
Now, don't answer that, honestly. but yes, that is actually exactly what I'm trying to say tonight. There is a way that your prayer life can be an exciting adventure that God has given you the privilege to enjoy. And so I want to show you that tonight. God has provided the cure for a mundane, monotonous prayer life. He really has. So what is the simple solution to the boring routine of saying the same old things about the same old things? Well, here it is. And you don't have to do a drum roll or anything like that. here is the solution. When you pray through a passage of Scripture. And that probably didn't seem very dramatic or what you were expecting to come, but that really is as simple as it is. And what I want to show you tonight is there is no better place to begin learning to pray the Scriptures than the book of Psalms. And the reason for that is most of the, if not all of the Psalms, are written to be offered back up to God. So God inspires the words of the Psalms to those penmen that write down these songs. And we have this inspired hymnal of words that were supposed to either be prayed or lifted up in song back to God. So here we have these words from the mind of God given to man, and then it goes through our heart and does its work in our heart, and we lift them back up to God in our words, back up to Him in our prayers. It's an amazing thing that happens when all of that takes place, and it's going to energize your prayer time. A man by the name of Gordon Wenham, he wrote, "The Psalms are designed to be prayed." They really are. And you wonder, how does this work? Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 23, and we'll just use that as our test vehicle tonight. We're going to get in the driver's seat and take a test drive through Psalm 23 as an example. And in the next couple of weeks, we'll work on this and really hone our skills to where you'll be able to open to one of the Psalms and do this as a natural thing. And you're going to be amazed by what this does to help you with your prayers. So you get to Psalm 23, and what are the first five words? Anybody know without looking?
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd. That's it. So you come to that first verse, and you look at that first phrase, and you sort of take that in and let that roll around in your mind a little bit. The Lord is my shepherd. And you sort of just emphasize each word, the Lord. Okay, there's only one, right? One God, the Lord. Then you have the word Lord. Oh, that's his proper name. The word translated Jehovah, God, his personal name. He's a personal God. And he is, not he's going to be or he was, but he is my shepherd. And you can think about each of those five words along the way. But what you're going to do as you read that phrase is simply pray whatever comes to your mind as you read those words. It might be something like this. Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. You're a good shepherd. Please shepherd my family today. Guard them from the ways of the world and guide them into the ways of God. Just like as you're thinking about what a shepherd does in guarding the sheep and then guiding them to where they need to go. May they love you as their shepherd, as I do. And Lord, please shepherd me in the decisions that I have to make here about my future. Do I make that move? Do I make that change or not? Shepherd me in that way, Lord. I also pray for our under-shepherds. I like this. He gives this example. Praying for the under-shepherds at the church. Because I can use as much of that as you'll give. And he says, please shepherd them, those under-shepherds, as they shepherd us. continue praying. You know, anything else that comes to mind as you consider those words, the Lord is my shepherd, and whatever comes to mind there. And then when nothing else comes to your mind, you go to the next line. What's the next line?
I shall not want.
Okay, so what are we going to pray about that? Lord, I thank you that I haven't missed too many meals. Right? All that I am and all that I have has come from you. I shall not want. I'll not lack anything, but I know it pleases you that I bring my desires to you. So would you provide the finances that we need for those, and you could list out the things that you really need in your life right then, those supplies that God can help supply and bring your way. Lord, you know that we need money for a vehicle that we can depend on. It's not going to keep breaking down. Lord, you know we need money for those bills or for school. And there's any number of things as you think about I shall not want, that I'm not going to be in a condition of wanting, of lacking what I need. And maybe there's someone else you know who has a need, and you can lift them up to the Lord in prayer for His provision. Lord, would you work in their life so they can see that they will not want or lack when you're involved there bringing those provisions to them. Or maybe you think of the persecuted believers who are suffering in other parts of the world that are definitely experiencing some lack of things they would need in life because of that persecution. And so you pray for these things, as many things as come to mind. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then I want to try to do an exercise with you guys tonight. Let's go on to the next phrase and see what ideas you might have. Just the first thing that comes to mind when you read these words. So what's the next word, the next phrase there? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Okay, so what could you pray based on those words there, Ms. Joni?
Lord, thank you for the safety that you give me. Thank you that I have a home and a place of comfort and I have a place to lay my head every night.
Yeah, that is good. Just right off the bat came to our mind how the Lord gives us that place of comfort to find rest. And just on a physical level, have a place to lay our head down and get good rest. And maybe you're not sleeping through the night like you would like to, and that might be something. Lord, would you help me have a good night's sleep and be able to sleep through the night like I should to get that rest? You may be struggling with that at the time. What else could you get from that? Anything else come to mind?
Safe country to live in.
Safe country to live in. Thanking the Lord for the land that we live in here. Being an American.
Yeah, worship freely.
Right. Yeah, worship freely and a safe place. Anything else?
I like that we don't have to be in fear of somebody banging our doors down and taking our lives because we're Christians. Uh-huh. That we're able to read the Bible anywhere out in public and stuff. You might have people scoff at you, but that's none of your business. You're there to talk to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we can pray anywhere, you know, with freedom.
So all of these kind of ideas of, like you would think of a sheep in a safe place, you know, in a comfortable place, getting that rest and that peace and comfort of being led by the shepherd there. All right, and then when something, you know, doesn't come to mind from that, you go to the next phrase. He says, He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Gentle brook.
Okay, a gentle brook, he said, that he's our guide and takes us where we need to go to find, you know, the
refreshment.
Yeah, that's good.
When there's chaos all around, Lord, you leave me beside the still waters, even though there's turmoil everywhere.
Oh, that's
else,
good, yeah.
You make me still.
I've heard, I don't know, not being a shepherd myself, but I've heard that sheep are scared of drinking out of moving waters, that they like the still ones.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's say in your life at the time, you know, here you are spending time in prayer, but your life is chaos and circumstances are crazy. And you come to this phrase here, and he says, He leadeth me beside the still waters. And you might pray, Lord, right now my life is nuts. And there are so many things out of my control, outside of what I can handle right now. Would you give me the comfort and refreshment of those still waters today? In some way, would you refresh my soul and ask God to do that in the middle of the storm that you're living in? and ask Him to lead you beside those still waters. And you might know of somebody else that's in that situation and pray that for them. But these things just coming to mind as you're reading through the scripture. So the next one would be, He restoreth my soul. So the idea of a sheep that falls over and needs to be picked back up upright again.
Well, I would say, Lord, thank you, first of all, that you saved my soul. But thank you that in the times when my soul is anxious and when I feel fearful, you also bring me that peace and you restore my soul in those times. Or ask the Lord to restore my soul when I am in those situations.
Amen.
Yeah. It brings peace to your heart, basically, when you have turmoil or you have anxiety that you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah. Well, that's good, too, yeah. He brings peace to our heart. This one?
When you are down and you can't handle it no more, and you just say, I can, that's it, I give up. You know, God says, you can call God, and God says, come here, my child.
Yes, He picks
he
you back up.
You.
Yes.
You know, and that's such a blessing.
Anybody honest enough to say, I've been there? The Lord had to pick you up because you were down. Then He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This would be a good one to ask the Lord to make sure you're on the right path.
Straight
and narrow. Yeah, and say, Lord, I need your wisdom for these decisions I got to make. I want to stay true to the way you would have me to go.
Follow the narrow road, not the wide road.
Right. Yeah. How about teens? You guys have any ideas what you would pray based on that? How the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, the paths of doing what's right according to what He says.
Just like guiding us on the right path and like keeping us pure.
Is it easy to do that, to stay on the right path? No. We need to ask Him for the strength to obey and the faith to believe that He's always got what's best in mind for us. Even when we don't understand His command, that we will obey. What about that next phrase? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I shall fear
no evil. I'll fear no evil. There's a lot of valleys we go through, and with shadows, dark places that we have to go through, and times where it seems like we're not going to come out the other end very well.
Yeah.
But He says, I'll fear no evil. And it may be that you're asking the Lord to manifest His presence in your life in a very tangible way. Say, Lord, would you remind me that you're with me and that this is going to ultimately be for your glory and for my good. Asking the Lord for those things. And then He's preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. All these things are anointing my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy, just that we sung about there, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's a whole lot packed into those six verses there. And a lot of times, the only moment in life we hear these verses are at funerals. Sadly, that's usually the case. But this really is for our journey during life, and we need these things. So this was just an example of a well-known psalm, a familiar one, but one that I think as you're just reading one phrase at a time and saying to the Lord but that which comes to mind, it can help be sort of a guide to keep your prayers going. Now, you can continue praying this way until either one of two things happen. Number one, you run out of time, because you might be surprised how long your prayers become when you're using the scriptures as a guide and just saying things that come to mind as you read through these phrases. Or number two, you might run out of psalm and you come to the end where nothing else is coming to mind. So if you run out of psalm before you run out of time, you simply turn to another psalm and you pray some more. And when you do that, you never run out of anything to say. And best of all, you never again say the same old things about the same old things. You're seeing things come out of your heart to the Lord that you would not have normally thought of or ways to phrase those or verbalize things to pray to God, that you're getting help by God's Word. And you're taking words that originated in the heart and mind of God, and you're circulating through them through your heart and mind back up to God. And it's an amazing thing that happens as He changes us and molds and shapes us into to what He wants us to be, if we'll take time to do this. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to practice this some more. I know this is just a little bit of a brief introduction. We didn't have a lot of time to spend on each phrase in this psalm, but we're going to practice this in the next few weeks. And I think this will catch on and stick with us as we go, because it's really exciting to see these things take root in our hearts and lives and see the Lord work through that.